They vote tomorrow in Florida, and by tomorrow night we may know if it's over, basically, between now and the nomination, or if it's going to be a really long haul. An hour, all hour long, we're going to be exploring the importance of the Florida GOP primary from the perspective of the diversity of a state that has been decisive in presidential elections going back two decades now. The diversity of Florida may be the first real test of the strength of the Republican message nationally, whoever wins the primary. We begin this hour with a look at an important national constituency, which makes up 10% of Florida Republicans. That's Latinos. Anna Sale has been in Florida talking to Republican primary voters all last week and this week. She's a reporter for itsafreecountry.org. Anna, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, John.
So, Anna, we've seen some members of the state Republican delegation seem to be trying to prepare Latinos in Florida for the onslaught of difficult candidate rhetoric on issues like immigration. Here's Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
For those of us who come from the conservative movement, we must admit that there are those among us who have used rhetoric that is harsh and intolerable, unexcusable, and we must admit, myself included, that sometimes we've been too slow in condemning that language for what it is.
Kind of tepid applause there, Anna Sale. Is the Latino base united down there in Florida?
No, not at all. Not here in Florida. This is a diverse electorate, and it's in flux. In 2008, Democrats took over the edge in registered Hispanic voters from Republicans, and there was a 27-point swing in support for Obama in 2008 from 2004, when Hispanic voters gave George W. Bush the majority. So what you hear Marco Rubio saying there, that was at a conference in Miami of Hispanic Republicans on Friday, you hear him trying to make this pitch for a pan sort of Latin political identity in Florida, for Republicans, no matter where they come from, Cuba, Mexico, Puerto Rico, to see themselves and their immigration experience as one experience. And that's something that's tricky here in Florida, because you've got such a different makeup than what you've got nationally. Cubans make up a third of eligible voters here in Florida. Puerto Ricans make up about 28%, and Mexican-Americans make up only about 9%. That's very different from nationally, where Mexican-Americans make up about 60%. So immigration is a much different issue here, because Cubans are eligible for permanent resident status in most cases because they're coming from a communist country. Puerto Ricans, of course, are citizens. So that's a very different relationship to immigration laws than Mexican Americans have. So over and over again, when I talk to Hispanic Republicans here in Florida, immigration was not a top priority personally. It was more strategically a priority. Mariah Linsky is a Cuban American I talked to. She's trying to recruit Hispanic voters in Tampa. She called herself hardcore on illegal immigration, totally against amnesty for undocumented residents, but she told me she'd be willing to compromise for the good of the party.
To just let people stay because they're here? That's not right. How about all those people that have been waiting for a long time? And there are people that wait for years and years, and they go through the proper channels. In that perspective, I am hardcore, but like I said, if need be, and it has to be done for the Republican Party, I would do it.
That's interesting, Anna, because, you know, what you notice from people with legal status who are immigrants, they can be more hardcore on questions of illegals than even your traditional sort of Caucasian Republicans in the heartland. What's motivating Hispanic Republicans down there from the people you're talking to?
I mean, over and over again, the top issue was the economy, just like you hear from many other voters. But what was interesting is the way it's framed a little differently. You'll hear Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich talk about sort of the creep of European socialism under the Obama administration. Hispanic voters talked about sort of the socialist conditions that their parents and grandparents migrated away from, and being concerned that that's happening here in the U.S. This is a voter, Juan Fiol, a Cuban-American Republican who I talked to in Miami.
Immigrant Latinos don't come here for welfare. They don't come here for food stamps. They get taught that here, once they're here. And they get taught that by the indoctrination of the left, and it has to stop.
Indoctrination of the left. It's almost as though that's what they're fighting against as much as Barack Obama. The liberation of Cuba, of course, is always a theme when Cuban Americans are rallied in the Republican base. What are you hearing?
Well, of course, that's the cliche, and you heard it again over the weekend. Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich came to this gathering in Miami of Hispanic Republicans and talked about Cuba. But you also saw other parts of the Hispanic base here in Florida trying to sort of create their own political base based on what Cubans have been able to do. I talked to a Puerto Rican Republican named Anthony Suarez. He and a group of people showed up with Puerto Rican flags, and they wanted to make statehood a real issue, and they wanted to make sure the candidates addressed it from the stage. This is what he told me about that.
We knew they wanted to talk about Cuba and Fidel. All they have to do around here, wear a guayabera, take out a cigar, say, Viva Cuba Libre, and they're going to get the vote. And they'll get a standing ovation every time. They will forget about Puerto Rico.
And he pointed out that Puerto Ricans tend to be more of a swing vote here in Florida. Cuban Americans tend to be more Republican. So they wanted a statement on statehood from the stage, and both Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich addressed it and said, talked about the importance of a statehood referendum in Puerto Rico.
So Marco Rubio begins this conversation by saying what we're looking for here is a pan-Latino, pan-Hispanic identity in Florida. And what you've shown is that clearly people are holding on to their identities, and they're only politically significant in terms of how they can hold their identities. Can Florida Latinos be swung back towards the Republican Party if all these constituencies are addressed?
Well, I think that the Hispanic Republicans really see this as an opportunity, that if rhetorically Republicans can get around the immigration issue, which they really see as something that's hurting them in their pitch to Latino voters, if they can get around that and focus on the economy, they think they've got solutions that Latino voters are looking for. But over and over again, talking about organizing Hispanics politically, I just heard this sense of this is a community influx, not just politically, but in who Hispanics are in Florida. As new immigrants come in and join into long-standing communities with long histories in the U.S. This is a Republican I talked to named Armando De La Torre. This is how he described it.
You know, my grandparents came from Cuba. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about Latinos, and we're talking about Mexicans, Hondurans, you know. I don't really know, I mean, anymore what the Latino vote means anymore. You know, I feel like a Hispanic person. I call myself Latino because I was born and raised in this Ybor City. So there was Cubans and Spanish and Italians all kind of mixed in together. So I would consider that Latino. Now, the rest of the what's happening right now, you know, I don't understand it anymore.
Fascinating. Anna Sale, does Romney win the Latino vote on Tuesday?
He certainly got the edge in polling. A poll came out over the weekend and a big edge over Newt Gingrich. But, you know, we'll have to see if those polls are accurate.
All right. Well, we'll put you on the spot when it's results time on Tuesday. Anna Sale, reporter for itsafreecountry.org in Tampa, Florida. Thanks, Anna.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.